time for a Blues Report with Joey Vitale.
You automatically look 15% tougher if you have a beard.
Brought to you by The Electrical Connection.
Orange and green in the shape of carrots.
When you need quality electrical work for your home or business, visit electricalconnection.org.
This is silky smooth.
Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues!
Our weekly chat with Joey Vitale is now here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter, and Joey is on the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line right now. Joey, we were just talking about fans and heckling and BT getting assaulted verbally in San Francisco.
It happens.
For you, with the glass up, I can't imagine that fans would be too vicious and loud for you to hear, but am I wrong in that? And what city would be the worst when it comes to heckling?
Well, good afternoon, boys. For me personally, I had some rough encounters in Philadelphia. So in my years with Pittsburgh and Philly, we had some serious rivalries. I hit Danny Briere. Well, let me back that up. We were playing the Flyers, I think, back in 2012. And we had about 7 regular season games left. We already knew at that point that we were going to be facing the Flyers in the first round with like 7 games remaining. And I remember my coach coming in there and saying, "Hey, boys, we got these guys in round one. Let's make a dent now." And I took that literally. I knocked out Nick Grossman, their defenseman. I had a knee-to-knee hit. He's gone. I hit Danny Briere with 3 minutes to go that started this incredible line brawl where you can look it up on YouTube. Peter Laviolette and Tony Granato were both coaches on the bench and were going at it, like livid at each other. Pierre Maguire's in the middle of it all. So ever since that game, the Philadelphia Flyer fans absolutely hated me. They didn't know who I was before that game. But after that, the entire postseason, I've never gotten so much attention from Flyers fans. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I did not handle it all that well. The pressure kind of got to me. I don't know how players like Sidney Crosby can go to these buildings game in, game out, feel that pressure, and not only play through it, but they actually excel through it. It's pretty incredible.
That is one, because there are a lot of guys that just thrive on that. And oftentimes it like ends up being white noise, probably. I was always cheered on the road. Don't know exactly what that meant when I was coming into a game, Joey. But it is kind of a... And I guess it just goes back to the overall idea that we are going to have sports with no fans in it. Like, that's one of the aspects that I think that we're going to miss out on is whatever that home field or home ice advantage is, and it varies everywhere, but it is real, isn't it?
You know, I think it is real. And, you know, but for hockey, I don't know about baseball, but with hockey, I mean, we're starting to see a trend where teams were winning more on the road. I mean, you looked at all the cup finalists for the last, I think, 15 years. I don't have the numbers right in front of me right now, but it's kind of alarming how many teams win on the road. I mean, we're just talking about Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby's, his 3 cups were won on the road. The Blues, they win on the road. You go with the Boston Bruins in Vancouver, they win on the road. Same way with Chicago Blackhawks winning in Boston. It's amazing to think that home ice and home field, I guess, used to be an advantage, but I think aside from football in those first few rounds, I don't really even see it as a home ice advantage anymore, and certainly it's not going to be here moving forward. I was talking to a couple players over the past week, guys, and some Blues players specifically, and I asked them how they were doing, how they were feeling about this whole thing kind of unfolding. It seems like we got some good news, tracking in the right order, or at least in the right line. And the first thing that both of them said, boy, it's going to be weird without fans. I've never played in a game without fans. So you can see it's clearly on their minds. This is an important part of the game. These players feed off energy of crowds. The Blues, I know, love the road because they kind of love the adversity of loud buildings, especially last year in the postseason. Look at the SAP Center. You go up to Winnipeg. Even the TD Bank North Garden in Boston can be a rowdy, vicious crowd. And I think the Blues really kind of relished in that. I think they loved the moment. The more pressure, the more adversity, the more dangerous the building, the more loud it got, they kind of just found their game a little bit more. So it's going to have to be an adjustment for these players, assuming they can continue to make progress and figure out a way to make a season happen.
Something we were talking about a few minutes ago, banging on the glass. If you're somebody in the crowd and you're doing that as a player, can you hear it? Do you notice it?
I have a public service announcement for all the people out there. Please stop doing that. All you're doing is making the game miserable for the people next to you. And the yelling that players are, please stop yelling at Tarasenko to pick it up and to move his feet.
Clear it.
Clear the puck.
Clear the puck.
Or how about this one on the power play? Shoot. I asked David Perron that specifically with Alex Ferrario last year. And David laughed. He goes, do these people think that we can hear them? Or better yet, do they think we can hear them and that we're going to listen to them? Like, what makes you think as a fan that your instinctual power play knowledge is greater than David Perron, where you're going to say, oh, the drunk guy in the third row must see something I don't see. If he's saying to shoot it, I think I should probably shoot it.
It's a different advantage point, though, Joey. And if they don't say, if these Blues fans don't say anything, how would they know?
It's an interesting point. I mean, you see how football's got it with the quarterback's got the microphone in their helmet. Well, hockey, what will hockey look like one day if we put a little microphone in Ryan O'Reilly or in Alex Petrangelo, and on the power play, you have eyes in the sky where you have your offensive coordinator or your offensive coach kind of talking him through some plays. The problem with hockey, though, is it's such a fast sport, and these players have to act so instinctually that if you start putting voices in people's heads, it's just going to amount to more mistakes, I think.
Drew Vitale joining us right here in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Joey, it's being floated or discussed by the NHL 24-team Stanley Cup playoff. They're discussing 8 or 9 locations to resume the season. Any hurdles you think might be too difficult to overcome?
You know, guys, trying to forecast this thing. I'm sitting outside right now, and this week, last week was supposed to be 80 degrees and sunny. Everyone was excited about this week, and we have seen nothing but clouds and rain. And are you mad at the weatherman or weatherwoman? You really can't be, because they're predicting the future and there's so many unknowns. And to me, it's kind of the same way with this. I mean, you have your ideas. You're reading the same things I'm reading. You're talking to some of the players I'm talking to. But it's like forecasting the weather for next week. There's so much unknowns. What I will say is that putting the majority of the teams in it, I think, is a good thing. You're looking at a 24-team, plan. Some people are opposed to it. That's too many teams. It ruins the integrity of what these top 16 teams did in the regular season. I'll give you an example. Look at the Blues, what they did last year. Look at this past season. I guess still in the season. Where are we? The Chicago Blackhawks, for example. I mean, they had almost a 0% chance of making the postseason. With a 24-team kind of setup, the Blackhawks are in. Now, some people don't like that. I like that. I think the more teams in, the better. And what I mean by that is, yes, it's unfortunate for the Blues to see the Blackhawks fighting for a cup. But at this point in the game, we got to generate energy. We got to generate revenue. We got to get teams on TV. We got to get cities excited. We got to get the Chicago pubs, Irish pubs, up and running again. We want people wearing Blackhawks jerseys. To me, it's more about the game than it is about integrity of, you know, where the teams finished. I mean, when you're looking at a 24-team setup, you're talking about adding Chicago. We got the Montreal Canadiens. Talk about a market up there. We got a New York team. I mean, to me, that's just more generated revenue, which is really one of the most important things now moving forward. But it's generated energy. It's going to get people excited to be rooting for their home team. So I'm actually a big fan for the 24-team setup. Be interesting to see how it plays out. You mentioned the cities there, Raj. I believe now Pierre LeBron, which I actually do trust him, he's been kind of saying that they kind of are starting to narrow it down maybe to two cities, where maybe a Western Conference would go to Eastern Conference would go to like a Toronto, for example, and the West would go to a Las Vegas. Las Vegas has been thrown around a lot. Another thing I'm kind of hearing scoops on, that they would try to figure out a hotel in one of these cities. So if you have 12 Western Conference teams, for example, and let's just say hypothetically we go to Las Vegas, they would have one hotel designated for the entire NHL, if that makes any sense, which sounds really crazy and a big undertaking. But I think if you grab this many teams and this many executives, and if the players can bring their families, which we still don't know about yet, you would almost have to have an entire hotel dedicated to this league, which I think can happen. And I think Las Vegas is certainly capable of handling that kind of a load. So, again, a lot still to be thrown up in the air. The good news is the Return to Play Committee has been meeting multiple times. There's multiple calls a day. And I've had actually a good source tell me, a good player of mine who's a good player in the league I used to play with, who's kind of high up there where he kind of has some good knowledge on it. And I asked him flat out, are we going to get some news this week? Are we going to play some hockey? And he just told me yes. He thinks that things are moving in the right direction. So I have to believe it, and I'm just hoping for the best.
And we hope for the best for you specifically, Joey. Thank you for coming on today.
Listen, I'm doing good because, you know, asparagus is in season. It's one of the first vegetables to come up in the spring.
Ooh, that's a Teach Us Tuesday.
They got us some purple asparagus these days. You guys go to your farmer's market, check it out. It's unbelievably fresh. You don't even need to cook it. Just have it raw. It tastes like pepper. It's amazing.
Interesting. Okay. Joey, thank you. Thank you for coming on for Teach Us Tuesday. Appreciate it. Okay.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
I think the purple one smells different.
You talking about when you pee?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Probably does. Somebody called Joey back.